Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Sherman. I'm your host. I have with me as a guest, Justin Arnold. Who is Justin Arnold? Well, Justin Arnold is a committed husband, active father of three, adventurer, nutritionist, strength and conditioning coach, musician, best-selling author, public speaker, consultant, and multi-certified movement and life optimization coach. Man, I'm tired just reading all that.
It's a mouthful, yeah.
He is the founder of Flex Mobility and Performance, a multifaceted health and wellness organization, and host of the successful podcast One Step Further. With more than 15 years in the health and fitness industry, he also runs a popular YouTube channel and has written or contributed to dozens of articles for various blogs, publications, and podcasts. As a survivor of severe childhood sexual and psychological abuse, attempted murder, and severe trauma, Justin is on a mission to take care of all people, whether it's families, individuals, or acquaintances, through his holistic philosophy regarding physical, nutritional, mental, and spiritual well-being. He believes that if people have access to the best tools and knowledge in a sympathetic environment, they will be able to achieve their fullest human potential. When he's not working out, reading or writing, you can find him hiking, playing drums, drawing, or meditating, sometimes with his family, sometimes by himself, because he believes to be the best version to others, you have to do the inner work and find time to love and work on yourself. From a philanthropic standpoint, he regularly donates to and volunteers with various organizations, including his church and mission work with Go Ministries. Please help me welcome Justin Arnold. Justin, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. I didn't even realize when you hear those things, you're like, hey, I do do all that. And I am all those things. So it's just incredible in this short life. I'll actually be 41 tomorrow. I'm having a birthday. And it's just, I still feel, I think 41 is a new 21 for me. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm living a really good life, and I feel super blessed. But it wasn't always that way. As you got a little bit of a taste in that story, and yeah, I mean, before we got on here, like I was telling you, like life definitely comes in seasons. I was literally just in Mexico a couple of weeks ago with my wife on a movement retreat, and here I am back in Rochester, New York, where we just got like 2 feet of snow yesterday.
Wow.
So it's kind of a euphemism for life, right?
There you go. Let me ask you something. How do you deal with having two first names?
Three, if you can take my middle name, man. You're not Justin, Shane, Arnold. My middle name is Shane.
So you've got three first names.
I do. I have three first names. How do I deal with that? It's not the first time I've been even asked that on a podcast. It's not the first time I've been asked that. I don't know. God, I guess, gave me the name for a reason. Maybe it's a joke. I don't know. I'll tell you a funny story with my first name. It's for those that are listening and don't know me, it's spelled with an E-N. So it's J-U-S-T-E-N instead of an I-N. And people ask me why. I was like, you're going to have to talk to my parents. My mom was a hippie. So maybe that was their way of being different in 81. But the funny story is in first grade, talk about like this wasn't the most traumatic thing, but obviously it must have been traumatic as a first grader. My teacher literally sent me to the principal's office for purposely spelling my name wrong. I was spelling it right, but she did not believe me. She did not believe me that it was an E-N. She's like, no, nobody spells their name with an E-N. I'm like, it's E-N. And then people are like, are you related to Arnold Schwarzenegger? And I'm like, no, that's his, like, that's my last name, his first name, like all these weird things. And then there was other stuff like, the way people pronounce it, are you pronounced just 10? Like they would emphasize 10. I'm like, it's just Justin. Like, Justin. It's just a name. And I don't go butchering all of your all's names. It's Justin Shane Arnold. So it is what it is.
All right.
I'm happy with it. So.
Yeah. I guess your parents were having fun with it as well. Okay, so as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. And the bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And trust me, everybody has a brick thrown at them at some point in time or another in their lives. Some more bricks, some less bricks, some bigger bricks, some smaller bricks. But life is not a straight ride. It's not a straight path. You know, there are many, many ups and downs. Now, there were several reasons why I asked you to be a guest on the show. See, on the outside, looking in, you look like anybody else, good marriage, great kids, business owner, etc. But after our initial conversation, the real truth came out. the bricks that you were hit with, sexual abuse, broken neck, car crashes, etc., which we'll get to later on. It was then that I knew that there were people in my audience who were going through some of the same things that you had gone through. They had been hit with brick after brick, much like what you had gone through. And they needed to hear and to know that they could get through the trials and tribulations the same way that you did. They needed to know that there were whispers out there that could save them. You got hit with some really, really bad bricks, and it started at an early age. Can you take us back to those early years and tell us what was happening, what was going on with you?
Yeah, for sure. So we all have stories, and you know, I don't want, when I go on mine, I don't want to act like what was me, and that's not why I put my story out there. I want it to be encouragement. Like you said, we have all got breaks, we've all got stories, we've all got pain, we all got trauma. Yeah, mine started at a very early age, even before I, you know, I guess with developing the memories of sorts. Apparently, I was supposed to be, I had a twin that didn't survive. Somehow I survived, you know, and my twin did not come birth. My mom can go down the explanation of that. It's just the information I was given. I know it's something about the umbilical cord or whatever, but, at about age 5, 6. Yeah. You know, this is at the time I'm living in the suburbs of Chicago, and I had two older siblings, and, you know, my parents just doing the best job that they can chose a babysitter that was a family friend. You would think family friend, good idea. Well, between the ages of 5 and 6, so for about a year or so, I would be molested and abused, and you know, without going into great detail, like, use your imagination. Like, some of the worst things you can imagine somebody doing to a 5 or 6 year old boy were happening. And wow. Because it was so traumatic, as we know now with psychology, that stuff sticks. So, you know, those things are in my mind. And they have been. And if you really know the science behind things that happen before the age of 7, literally ingrained into your central nervous system. And so that's where, like, health is such a big deal with me, because I'm aware of these things. So I know other people who are dealing with physical pain or issues or things like that, why I'm also a life coach, could have manifested itself at a very early age. And so, like, you know, a father yelling at his wife or neglecting his kids could have been because of some traumatic event that happened when you're younger. Me being self, having the self-awareness and knowing that makes me more aware of these situations, because I'm able to honestly address it and know that just because these happened to me, I didn't have control over it. So we, sometimes when we go through these things, we tend to blame ourselves, or we try to avoid it and run away from it, but we never really actually can run. We really got to face it. And some of these can have a purpose to them, even though it sucked, let's be honest, that it happened.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 5 or 6. So I'm not weak for just because I'm a man now, and I was a boy then. Doesn't make me weak for this. It's not like I allowed that to happen to it. But sometimes as men, we can look at it as a weak point of light, so we don't want to talk about it. But I think we need to, because it still festers at us, even if we don't think so. So a little bit more, like, besides the molestation, like, it got so bad to the point that he knew there was no way out. I assume, I'm not his mind, but he wanted to set the house on fire with us inside. He ended up leaving my oldest brother, who did survive, but he eventually, last minute, he took me and my other brother and got us out, took us to the neighbors and looked like an almighty savior. And he got away with it for a little bit, until I was the one that spoke up. And I only know that I spoke up because my mom told me later on. I don't really remember. I just remember my mom beating the steering wheel. And this part's in the book, beating the steering wheel is like saying, I'm going to kill him. But what parent wouldn't want to kill somebody that you entrusted your children? And again, this is going on for a year. The crazy thing is, you know, we go into a new life and move into a new house, and the court cases with that is going on. And, you know, you think, oh, a new fresh start, but an older sibling comes into our house and continues abuse with that babysitter left off. And that went on until about I was the age of 9. And so, yeah, very early age, people, you know, this wasn't until older there that I realized, like, love and care, people were supposed to care about me, literally, like, was altered until I was, like, able to address it. Because it's like the people that were supposed to take care of me, love me, you know, protect me, were doing pretty much the opposite. Like, were abusing me and raping me and treating me like just not ideal, you know. And I could have, and I went through bouts of, you know, mental health and things that, when I was younger, but it was really like finally, like, finding various outlets and tools and realizing, man, this is just a chapter in my life that occurred, and while it was a horrible thing that happened, I would, in my mind, I want to say I was like 12 or 13 when I was like, they controlled me for so long and I'm not going to let them control me and my mental state. And I knew that being depressed or sad or even trying to run away, and we all, like I said, can't really run away, they're still in control. So from a very 12-year-old, like, I'm not going to let you control me kind of attitude, it's evolved in a much more mature approach. But in that beginning stages, it was like, it was actually a good approach to kind of like, you know what? I can't control what they did, but I can control myself and my mind set around everything moving forward, because I knew that if I let these events continue to affect my mind state and other things, and if I didn't have the self-awareness around it, it would affect all my relationships moving forward for the rest of my life. So, anyways, I know I kind of went on there, but yeah, it started at a really early age. There was other things I had. And I remember neighbor kids, like even what was going on, like throw me down in the gutter and like beat me up pretty regularly and being called names and being bullied. No, I was never a fat kid, but I was definitely a chunkier kid. But even back then, people were mean. People were mean to me. And like, it's like, I look back and it's like, you know, it just was part of life. But, you know, I know people deal with some of these things now or have dealt with it. And I get it. Like, there's times where you want to give up, but I really truly believe we're all meant for a purpose on this planet. And I really believe that, like, the devil is in overtime, for lack of a better way to phrase it, to really get rid of me quick. And, you know, in my stubborn, optimistic, you know, realist perception, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to make this world a better place, because there's a lot of pain. And I realized hurt people hurt people. So even though it was sucked what happened to me, these people are hurting too. And they're just trying to put their pain onto me. And I'm not going to let them win in that. So if anything, I want to help younger people. I want to help people with whatever, whether it be, it started with physical, with my personal training. And then I do the life coaching with the mental, because I realize if I can help even just a few people here and there, hopefully it'll have a domino effect in the lives that they come in contact with to prevent things that happen to me. And it may sound simple, but I truly believe work like this can help. So.
No, I hear. And it's, you know, so you had all those bricks thrown at you early on, but then the whisper started to come into you saying like, no, you don't need to suffer. You don't need to, you know, take this into yourself and, you know, just, you know, hide it, so to speak, or, you know, not let anybody know about it. It's, you know, they say it's very important, you know, part of the healing process in general is talking about it. All right. Because if you suppress it, it could be so much worse. So, my hat's off to you that you're willing to talk about it and you're willing to, you know, let people into your life, you know, in a certain area where, most people would not, you know, want to do that. But, you know, I think you have, you know, an altruistic motive, and my hat's off to you. Tell us a little bit more about you. I mean, you mentioned to me you had broken your neck. You were in car. What?
Yeah.
Talk to me, man. Talk to me.
Like you mentioned earlier on, people look at me and they assume everything's good. And I've even had people like, you got great genetics and everything's good and everything always works. I've had people say that. And that was part of motivation of like even writing the book. I had a friend implant the idea when I was on a mission trip to write the book. But then I was like, nah, nobody wants to hear my stuff. Like, you know, everyone's got stuff to deal with. But I realized I kind of had to. And if I could like positively affect one person by this book, even if that person is me. But yeah, so a lot has happened. We all have stuff, but like, it might look like I'm chasing pain, and maybe I was at one point, but I'm just an adventurer and I want to enjoy life. You got one life. And, you know, even I say this, like, even though there's storms happen all the time, like life never gets easy. It's always challenging. It's not like if you make a certain amount of money, it's all of a sudden going to be rainbows and unicorns. That's not going to happen. But even through the pain, even through the trauma, even through the hardship, you can still enjoy it. Some of those times when I'm trying to enjoy life, yeah, accidents happen. So I've been in several car wrecks, not all my fault. So I don't think I'm like driving crazy. One was in 2005, for example, where I was managing a restaurant at the time and I was going to pick up supplies. And I lived in Kentucky and it never snows really where we're at. Like, so they don't really know how to handle it. So the roads are like super slick. And I remember I don't remember all the details. I just remember somebody slammed on the brakes. And next time I think I knew somebody in front of me slammed on the brakes. Next thing I knew, I was in the hospital. The police report basically said that I went propelled like a helicopter, basically airborne, and slammed into another vehicle. I guess my vehicle lost control. I hit a pole and then I hit a vehicle or something. Anyways, I was found in the path, hanging out the passenger side window because my seatbelt had ripped off, broken off. I ended up having 9 staples in my head. I fractured at least 1 vertebrae in my neck. So basically a break, but not a clean break where I was paralyzed, but it did affect some nerve endings in my body. And so I had a neck brace. I had this like mountain on top of my head that looked like it was literally like somebody had put a softball inside it. And that took months to recover from. In fact, my dad was in Illinois, came back. And so this was 2005. So you're looking at it as like, you know, so I'm like about 24, 25 years old. And my dad came 2 days later. Thank God he was there. Literally, my vehicle's destroyed and I can't drive. I'm drugged up and everything else. My brain ended up hemorrhaging. So I had to go back to the hospital and get it drained because it was like the pain literally felt like it was my head was going to explode. 2007, I had a snowboarding accident. Again, just avid outdoors person, avid snowboarding. This wasn't my first time. I was just on some like some hills in southern Indiana. And again, it snows there, but not like it did that day. It was like we hit a middle of a snowstorm. And so they it's like a mixture of man-made snow. This is the way it explained to me, a mixture of man-made snow and just right between the snowstorm and the wind. And just, it was really slick. So when I came off a jump, I landed and I just, normally I'm fine, but I had no control. I lost control. I don't really remember what happened. It just felt like I broke my arm. I didn't break my arm. I had broken my neck or fractured my neck in 2 places so bad. Somehow I was able to walk. I'm not making this up, but apparently the way the doctor, it affected again, all the nerve endings in my left arm. Went to this Podunk Indiana hospital. They don't know what's wrong. They put me in a sling and sent me on my way in the middle of the snowstorm back to Lexington, Kentucky, which in the time was like an hour and a half drive, hitting all these bumps and everything else. I get a call at 7 a.m. I'm not like trying to dramatize this. This is a legit story. 7 a.m. I get a call from Lexington Hospital, which is like one of the best hospitals in the country. Like, they're like, don't move. We got an ambulance on the way. And they don't tell me anything else. You just hang up. I'm like, what's going on? I found out, I got to the hospital and I just saw like doctors shaking their head, looking at me. Like, they got me in the neck brace. They got me like when they picked me up, they put me in one of those like orange, like I was like, basically I couldn't move. I'm like, what's going on? Anyways, apparently that hospital sent my x-rays down there and overnight they checked them out. My vertebrae, the two vertebrae that were fractured, I think C6 and C7, but don't quote me on that. I'd have to go look. The two that were fractured was bad enough that like, if I would have hit the wrong bump, if I would have slept the wrong way the night before, like if I would have turned my head, like I could have completely broken them and been paralyzed. Like, this is what the doctor was telling me. No, I did not sue anybody or anything else. It is what it is. And I looked at it again. People call me crazy. I was grateful. Like, I was optimistic. I could have been, and this is like my whole life. This is just the story. Like, this happens. Things could have been way worse. Like with the car wreck, I could have been dead. Like with the birth, I think it all started at birth. Like, I was born and my twin was not. Like, I'm grateful I get life to do again and do better. And that's why, like, I show up in the relationship. So I go on and on and on a story. So yeah, I broke my neck. I've torn this shoulder, like all 4 rotator cuff muscles in this shoulder. I've injured my hip. What are some other crazy things that have happened? I remember one car wreck where my vehicle completely flipped over. I was in the hospital. A week before I was going to get married. Here's another one. A week before I was going to get married, and maybe people can relate to this. People might even have worse stories, but like, if anything, be an optimist and be a realist. But like, a week before I got married, I was rushed to the hospital. Felt like literally somebody was ripping my skull open. Real quick, though, I went to a doctor. They just thought I had migraines. I've never had migraines in my life. And I took this medicine. I woke up at midnight. It literally felt like somebody's taking their hands and ripping over the back of my skull. It's like, it had to be the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. It brought me to tears. And like, I was like, I can't really connected to any other pain I've ever had in my life. And so they did a spinal tap, drew some fluid, did all these tests. I stayed for a few days. They really didn't know. Finally, I think like 3 or so days later, they came in and said I had a rare or new form of meningitis. So they sent it off to the state lab to be researched. They asked my permission. I said, sure, whatever. I was in the hospital for another week. And so that just kind of like wiped me. And then we got married. And then a month later, I was in the hospital because my appendix almost burst, which they correlated to the meningitis. It didn't burst, thank God, but it almost burst. And so like that I removed, which completely being in the health and wellness and nutrition actually helped me because I work with a lot of people with gut issues. I was one of those guys before the appendix thing. I could eat and do whatever I want as long as I stayed active. You know what I mean? Like nothing really bothered me as long as I stayed active, which I'm a pretty active guy. After that, like everything, I became lactose intolerant. I couldn't handle breads. I couldn't handle all these different things. My gut would inflame for no reason. I became really gassy and I'm like, I can't do this. So, but it got me to really explore food and nutrition. And because I'm all this person too, like, I don't want to just eat chicken, broccoli, rice, and salad. I want to eat delicious foods. How can we do this but keep inflammation down? And so I've really discovered that this was in 2011-ish when this happened. So, or 2010. So we're looking at 11 years. Over the last 11 or 12 years or so, I've really just really hammered in like delicious food. And this is why I teach my clients. It's low inflammation that's good for people. Like, so I've worked with everybody with, you know, different kinds of gut issues, from GI issues to appendix issues. You know, even when I was writing this book, like, you know, life comes in storms. Here's one more story and then we can move on. But I ended up coming back from the Dominican Republic where I was on that mission trip. And I just was having weird stuff going on with my stomach. And I went to a gastroenterologist to do some stuff because everything I would knew that I was doing wasn't working. Found out, yeah, I became sugar intolerant, but it wasn't just that. They ended up asking if I'd like to do a colonoscopy. And a lot of people know that now because colon cancer is on the rise, but I'm 41. Typically don't do it till mid to late 40s. She's like, we don't have to do it. But I'm like, hey man, if you're offering, I'm taking, I'm all about it. I want to know. So I did it. We all know colonoscopy, the prep, all of it. It's not fun, but if you can have some relief, I wanted relief. I want to know what's up. And I'm glad I did it. They found 2 precancerous polyps, which I know can happen. So they removed those. Now I got to go back pretty much every year. But after they took those out, I actually felt a lot better. You know, so it shows that even though it wasn't a major thing, it does happen. And it's not like a rare thing. I know it's pretty common. A lot of people find precancerous polyps. But once they removed those 2 precancerous polyps, my gut felt better. So it's just like, you know, it's, if anything, especially the male ego can get away with doctors and all these different things and on our past stories, like this is part of the life experience. And I think the more we can open up, not necessarily everyone got to go write a book, but like you can just like journal. Like I offer a free journal because I think writing is very therapeutic. Like just being honest with your life and not sugarcoating and just like, we all experience life. We all got our ups and downs. Nobody's living like the Instagram life that's perfect. We all got trials, whether we're rich or whether we're poor, whether we're in the middle. We've all got challenges. And some of our emotions and feelings attached to those challenges might be similar. And by sharing a little bit with even just a journal might feel better, but even just sharing with a friend or maybe even on social media, you might help one person. I think we need to get past the point of like being vulnerable and know that vulnerability is a strength and is masculine, and being vulnerable isn't a weakness. And like especially for things that you have no control, over what a grown ass man did to you when you were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So just be honest and be okay and move on and don't let that person who did that stuff to you have any more control of your life anymore. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Just remind me one thing. Remind me not to get into a car with you.
Somebody said I blew past my 9 lives. I can't remember who said that. My mom said it. My wife has said it. I think somebody read my book is like, man, do you have like, if you're like a cat, but I think you blew through. I don't know. I think if we just, I've been reading this book called, what is it? It's called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And it kind of points out like, if you have a purpose in your mind, if you're meant for more and you know that there's something out there, the will to survive is great. This guy went through the concentration camp and his will to survive was greater than anything he went through. Like he went through worse things than I feel I've gone through. So it's like, I think that will to survive and being an optimistic realist has real power in it. And just knowing that like we're meant for more, we're built for more, we're meant to help people, just like this podcast is probably helping so many people. So
I got to tell you something. It's really funny that you mentioned Viktor Frankl, because I interviewed a guy yesterday who went through the London bombing in July of 2005.
Oh, wow.
All right. And he also mentioned Viktor Frankl, you know, and what he had gone through.
So wise man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It was fascinating. Anyway,
have you read the book?
I have not read his book.
Yeah. It's definitely a deep one. And again, like with any book, I always tell people, don't treat any book as religion, and there might be some meat in there. You don't have to, you know, take the meat, leave the bones is kind of what I say. I'm not saying it's that, but it might be for some people. Like, there might be some like things that you may not agree with in there. But I think of the overall compassing message that, like, you know, if we're here to help people and you know, our driving purpose is survive, we can do a lot of great things. And that's kind of it. Like, as long as I'm on this planet and I get breath in my lungs, like, you know, we're gonna have good and bad days, but I just want to like make the most of it and keep trucking on and just learn and grow from the challenges that are presented before me.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Did you ever get to a point that you got so low in your life that you said to yourself, you know, I quit, I can't do this anymore, I'm giving up on my dreams, I don't care, I'm, you know, I'm just going to crawl up into a little ball and die. I don't, you know, that must have crossed your mind at some point in time. And if so, let me finish. If so, how did you climb out of it? How did you make that comeback? Because obviously you made that comeback.
I mean, I went through like, and I talk about this a little bit in my book, I did go through doubt about bouts of like depression, and I contemplated and even poorly attempted suicide a couple times. And this is in my teenage high school years. And again, this is me. So don't take this personal or anything, but I kind of looked at like, that was an easy route and that was giving up and I couldn't do that, you know, and I looked at like, you know, even though this is easy for me, I really had this belief that it was going to be so much harder for everyone else. You know, even if we go through like nobody cares, but I was like, wait, somebody's going to be like, and I'm like, oh, and then like Barmy's like, then I, and it goes back to that. Then I let them win. You know, I let them being whatever it is that's paining me or hurting me. And then I put it on myself. And so that happened through my teenage years. So I did get some pretty low moments, and even when I have some challenges, even in these moments, I always go back to like, I have tools now. That's why I always tell people, like, don't just go through life. Like, you know, like really like have things in place, because, you know, that's why I write. It's so therapeutic just to write down my thoughts and not sugarcoat them and just kind of get them on paper. There's a flush there that you mentioned in my bio of meditation. I'm big on self-care. I think sometimes, especially I'm a father of three, especially as parents, especially I see this very common with women, like they're doing all these things with their children and then they neglect their health, their mental health, the physical health, all of it. And they say, because I'm doing it for them. And then you have the guys that are working 80 hours a week, neglecting their health too, mental and physical, because I'm doing this all for them. But you can't be the best father, the best husband, the best wife, unless you're taking care of yourself. Being selfish is selfless to a degree, as long as it's like working out, getting 8 hours of sleep or as much as you can, you know, taking some downtime. And if you can't find it in your week, at least find a little bit in, you know, each day, like 5 minutes of meditation, like truly like disconnecting and clearing your mind, calming your mind, call it whatever you will. Man, I've done 5 minutes of meditation and I've even tracked it on various, like they have all these devices now. It's showing to have even science that have better recovery than 8 hours of sleep if done correctly. Cause you can really disconnect. Cause sometimes we are so stressed that we go to sleep and don't really get sleep and we're having nightmarish dreams and it's just like a vicious cycle, or we're heavily medicated to try to get to sleep to escape our life. But, you know, I think we need to find a better way. So yeah, I did answer your question is I've gotten those. And I want to say sometimes the devil creeps in. The first chapter of my book is the devil doing pushups. That's the name of the chapter. And what that means is essentially like, he's always going to be there. He's always going to creep. And so like, again, it goes back to like, you know, be okay with your feelings and emotion. I'm not trying to say never be mad, never be upset, never be angry, never be emotional. Just be have the self-awareness to address it and not hang out there too long and realize why you might be having those feelings and just be okay with it. But just know that other people are counting on you, you know, and you don't always have to be 100%, but if you can be the best version of yourself that day or that moment, whether it be for yourself, for your kids, for your wife, or whatever it might look like, then just be that person. There is no, you can't be 100% every day and be okay with that. But like, just, it's good to have tools. It's good to have control in your life and areas when life can be so out of control. That's why I do a morning routine, a night routine. I schedule these things. So when you do that, you're like, okay, this is my standard. These things are going to happen. Even if there's all these storms and chaos in the middle, at least I got these things and I can find comfort in these things. Does right. that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's why I call this podcast Whispers and Bricks, because the bricks are all the things that are getting thrown at you that, you know, that they just exactly.
Yeah.
But all those other things, those are the whispers that are talking to you that are helping you to avoid the bricks or to, you know, deal with the bricks, et cetera. Let me ask you this before we go, who's the one person that you would point to that you would say had the most influence in your life and why?
The one person that had the most influence. You know, I've been asked this before, and I've always thought about trying to give a different answer, but
don't give a different answer. Man, give us a real answer.
Well, the real answer is honestly, like, I wasn't always a believer in a higher power of faith, but I honestly look to Jesus. And whether you're religious or not, I look to Jesus, and not to sound cliche or anything, for those that know, I went through a period of not believing in even atheism. It was me on my own, on myself, that found it. And I just looked to that guy just because, like, this guy, like, in a short period of time made such a massive impact. And he knew the benefits of, you know, he could go into a crowd, but he could also, when he could step away, he could work one-on-one, but he could also climb mountains. He was very physically strong to be able to climb mountains. We're talking like Adirondack, like cliffs in yeah. sandals in a robe to go be by himself. He saw the value in personal development. You know, he saw the value of like meditation and prayer. And so like, for me, I just, you know, he could love people like that did some of the worst things. And I can't even find that sometimes. Yeah. So like I look at that, like, and I, and in my book, I'd like to add just, you know, all the people that have created or all the people that may have challenged me or maybe weren't ideal. Like I realized like all these challenges, I would never take back anything. I would never change anything that happened in my life. I am grateful for my life experiences because it's made me the father. It's made me the husband. It's made me the business owner. So, you know, I realize, well, it's hard to stomach sometimes. I don't want a perfect life. And I got a quote on this wall. It says, do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure a difficult one. Cause that's it, you know. That's the key to it.
Well, I was going to ask you for words of advice or words of wisdom, but you just laid it out right there, right there. Can you repeat what you just said, please?
Do not pray for an easy life. Pray right. for the strength to endure a difficult right. one.
Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure. That's that brilliant.
Because our life is hard. Brilliant. Nobody has brilliant. An easy life.
Brilliant, brilliant,
pray
brilliant.
For the strength.
Wow. So, Justin, before we go, if people want to get a hold of you, what would be the best way of doing that? Whether they just want to talk or they have issues or they're looking for coaching or whatever it is, whatever it may
yeah,
be.
Yeah,
what's the best way to get a hold of you? You have a website, you have email. What is it?
Yeah. I'll give you it all these. So you can go to my website and there you can actually find information on my book, Purpose Through Pain. My personal website is justinarnold.com. And if you weren't listening to this podcast, it's with an EN. So JustinArnold.com. Pretty simple. You could also check on my gym website, which is flexmp.com. That's with two X's. So FLEXXMP.com. And then my email address is, like, you know, I'm always looking for people to be more, be better, be the greatest version of themselves. So bemore@justinarnold.com. So that's BEMORE. And then I'm on social media from LinkedIn to Facebook to Instagram. I'm all over the place. And if you want to see some of my drumming, I throw some of that up on this whole TikTok. I'm not a big thing on TikTok, but I'm on there as well. So there
all
you
right,
go.
Great. Thanks so much, Justin.
Thank you.
Justin, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with me and my audience. Really good luck going forward. I know you're doing some great things. I know that you're helping people, and you know, with this podcast, you're going to be helping a whole lot more people. It's just what you're doing is great. You know, again, I don't know if I would have your strength. All right. Given everything that you've gone through, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. So my hat's off to you. Continue doing what you're doing. All right. I'm proud to call you my friend, and, you know, just keep on keeping on. All right.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for having me on here, man. It's been a real blast. And yeah, hopefully people find comfort in this. And you said you don't think you could. I think anything's possible. Again, I find comfort in a higher power, because like, it's easy to just, I got a tattoo where it says, let go, let God. Cause like, I'll take care of what I can. You can take care of the rest. And again, whether you believe it or not, there's comfort in that. So maybe just give it a try. See if it helps.
There you go. There you go. Thanks so much. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shumrud. Remember, if you feel like you're stuck in the mud, like you're spinning your wheels, wasting time in your career, your business, your life, if you know you're not enjoying all the success, satisfaction, significance that you desire, then it's time for you to book a call with me at callwithari.com. Check out my Whispers and Bricks Coaching Academy. And until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.